Amen, church. Let's turn to the fifth chapter of the book of St. Matthew. The Lord, as I was meditating upon him today, laid a thought upon my heart. We're going to read from the first verse in chapter 5 of the book of St. Matthew. And it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in spirit, pure in heart, excuse me, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I often wondered, why did Jesus have to deliver this message on the mount? This seems to be like a word that we would hear down in our life's valleys, in a low place. For us to be able to come through our valleys and be blessed, we must learn to recognize just how blessed we are when we're on the mountain. For we may not feel it walking through the valley, and we may not understand God's purpose for what we're going through. But today I read some of these sentences in the Word of God, and it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." For that, he was giving a definition here of what it would really mean to be blessed. We often associate being blessed with monetary value and try to say we're blessed based on the size of our house, and we'll try to say that we're blessed based on the car that we drive or the job that we possess. And I'm not speaking ill against those things that we have in this life, but Jesus was trying to get us past the carnal and to step into the spiritual of what would define you as a blessed person, because every part of you every day is rebelling against being a blessed people. How many of you know that tonight? Every day you get up and you feel bad. Your flesh is rebelling against the spirit man and woman that lives inside you. I read this, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You might be in a place where you don't feel like you're fulfilled through the Holy Ghost, but I want you to know that when you're broken and you are contrite before God, you're able to step into blessings that you would have never had you your pride overtaken your mind and you felt like that you were better than receiving what God had for you. You read the next verse, it says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." We can mourn all day long, and it is hard to mourn some things that we lose, but you step into a blessing when you allow the Spirit of God to help you in a time of mourning. There's been some things, and it's silly stuff, things that I've lost in life, maybe a car, or maybe something monetary, or I went through a time where I didn't have the money that I did then, and we'll mourn the loss of those things, and it also refers to mourning for those that we lose that we love. But if we spend too much time in mourning and not allow the Holy Ghost to move, then we are hindered and not blessed. Look inside of your situation and ask yourself in the middle of the trouble, am I walking like I am blessed? Am I letting the Holy Ghost comfort me in a time of trouble? You read in verse 5, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now I know that when we all get a little bit upset, we all come in here with smiles on our faces. Well, I don't know about you, but that's not the case for me sometimes. I don't always come in grinning ear to ear when everything seems to be bad. And in fact, I would go as far as to say that I'm definitely not meek in my spirit. Because when we get vexed in our flesh, we will rebel against God's will for a service. You may not think that you're doing it. You may not think that you're coming directly against somebody. But when we are vexed in our heart, we're coming against the meek that's trying to bring down the glory of God. May not take the appearance of that you have a great lot of possessions. And it may not look like that you came through just yet. But let me remind you tonight, as we stay broken before Him, we begin to open up our eyes and see what Jesus was trying to get them to see. He was speaking to people that were poor, people that followed Him faithfully but didn't have much. And He was trying to get them to realize, He was speaking to them, brothers, sisters, that it's not in on the outside of what you have that makes you blessed. What you hold on the inside is what will keep you when you have a lot or when you have a little. When your loved ones are struggling or whether they're going through good times. Whether church services are shout down, shout break the roof off to bring somebody in services, or whether they're the hardest thing that you've ever been through in your entire life, you can still be blessed either way that goes. Jesus was trying to say, I'm preparing such a time that when I go away that you will be comforted. But there must be a part of you that recognizes that you are still blessed. Can you imagine walking in that day with Jesus Christ? It didn't take very much to make you consider how blessed that they were. They were walking with the Master. They said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment. It didn't take very much to build up confidence. And Jesus was speaking to them to say, renew your confidence. To know that when you are broken, that you are walking with Me. That He sees every need that you have. You read in verse 6, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He didn't say blessed are those that are walking to be holy. It's saying blessed are you who will strive to do the right thing. Sometimes doing the right thing is not going to please everybody. Sometimes doing what you know is right for the greater good of somebody, you'll make them mad. You'll upset them. They'll come against you. They'll make you feel like you are the worst thing that's ever walked on the face of the earth just for trying to do the right thing. You might be at a job right now and are caught in a struggle of whether I should do this or not because you know that it's right. God wants us to hold our integrity. For when we walk in the integrity of righteousness, you can feel and know that you're blessed regardless of whether they let you go, whether they keep you, whether they'll hold on to you, whether they persecute you. You'll see that you're blessed. It's been hard for me to sometimes do the right thing because I was afraid of all the, I don't know how to say this, all of the flack that would come back to me. There's been some times in my first job where I had to do the right thing. And I guess I had to per se blow the whistle or rat somebody out that was trying to despitefully use me. And it was hard just to do the right thing at the time. But I knew that if I held to it my integrity, that God would see me through to the end. I didn't have to lie my way to the top. I just worked hard, stayed honest, did the right thing, kept my mouth shut when the devil would try to rile up and get me all stirred up in another direction. If you examine inside of yourself and you feel yourself not wanting to make the right decision, then it's time to evaluate exactly where we stand with God. Because the only feeling that Jesus Christ wanted us to have in persecution and in triumph was to realize just how blessed. Can you imagine hungering and thirsting to do that which is godly? I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it is the right thing to come to church and give Him praise. It is honorable of you to come and to give God glory. I don't know who's going to show up when I show up, but one thing I do know is that which He has required me to do, I know it is right in the sight of God to do what He has called me to do. So therefore, I am walking in righteousness as I obey Him. How many of us tonight, as we ask ourselves, did everything that God would have us to do? Are we hungering to always make sure that we dot the I's in a service? It might be some small thing. It might just be going and looking somebody in the eye with a genuine heart and saying, God loves you. It might be something just as small as a verse of a song without music, but it means something because you're showing an attribute that rebels against everything that you're going through. My Lord and my God, you're going against everything. All the tides of life are blowing you one direction, yet your heart is still going against the tide and saying, irregardless of how I feel, I still know that I'm blessed. Praise the Lamb of God. I'm trying to make it through it. I don't want to get going here. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Not a person in here tonight was good enough to receive mercy. And God wanted us to understand that if we're a blessed people, that we'll show mercy. Because the day will come when you're going to need mercy. You might not always get in here and be righteous. You might fail in some things. But if you will be merciful upon your brothers and sisters, though they may come short, though they may make you mad, the day will come where you need mercy. And if you will show other people love, God will love you, and you'll know just how blessed that you are. I have to show mercy every day of my life. I realize as a minister of God that the enemy is on my trail, caused me to stumble. I have people say things to me that after they say it, I'm like, really? Really? You're going to say that? My heart gets broken. I think, really? Do I have to walk through this again? How long must I endure this same thing all the time? Devil trying to come through all the time, trying to cause me to stumble. And then I remember a day when I didn't know and understand the words that I needed to say. And somebody that walked blessed before the Lord had mercy on me. And now I realize that though they may persecute me, that if my heart will open up and love them as Christ loved us, then they'll be blessed just as you are. Let me tell you, if you will love somebody when they persecute you, there's a greater blessing in that than failing and repenting for mercy. There's a greater blessing in coming through a few things. People may come against you when you obey God, but if you keep on preaching and love them anyway, you'll inherit a blessing that you wouldn't have had you just said, forget them, I'm moving on. There's been a lot of preachers that have given up on their calling because they weren't able to show mercy when they needed to, and made a mistake when they shouldn't have, and didn't walk blessed before the Lord. There is a walk in God where every day you know just how blessed that you are. Man, it's so easy to praise God, but oh, blessed are they that endure, for the same shall be saved. You also read in here, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. If I hold anything, this may be something that you've heard a million times. If that's the case, I'm sorry. If there's anything in your heart that you're holding that causes you to stray from God's will, we will not understand the will of God. We will not see. You understand what I'm saying? Have you seen that commercial? I believe it's for Ameritrade, the green arrow that starts and tries to point you in the right direction. If I could just sometimes, I wish I could just sometimes see that arrow and which way I need to go. But you know, the easy thing about it is when I keep my heart pure before God, having a repenting spirit, when you repent, you're able to understand and see what God would have you to do. How many of you can raise your hand tonight or just give me, don't have to raise your hand, just give me an amen if you've ever felt like that you saw what God had in store for you. Let me ask you this, when you saw that, was your heart not in a place where it was pure? It took me a long time to connect those dots. I thought that just being nice to people was just the being a Christian part. It had nothing to do with it. But I've understood as I've matured in my life that there's something about enduring all the day long and having a pure heart before God. Because when the darkness comes and the night begins to set in on our situation, all of a sudden, other people that couldn't see the way, you'll be the one that sees the way. I worked with 7 programmers in my first job, and I saw each and every one of them get let go. Yet all through the while, I was just continuing on through with God and trying to say, Lord, I know if I get fired at your will, Lord, if I stay at your will. I saw six people that I cared for get let go. My heart was broken. But when I realized that I was still going to work and I was the last one standing and that God didn't let me go until he had somewhere else to go, it didn't take me very long to understand just what he was trying to show me. I realized that no matter if I have a job or whether I don't, that I'm still blessed. Whether I have a church to preach at or not, I'm still blessed. Whether I have the car I want or not, I'm still blessed. Though I may not have all the friends I want, I might have more enemies than I do friends, I realize that I'm still blessed. I may not get to always sing in church, and I might go silent for a year, but I still know that I'm blessed. I might not be able to shout like I used to when I was younger, but I still know that I'm blessed. I might not get everything that my heart is longing for, but if I know that what he gives me is for me, then I know that I'm blessed. I just can't seem to get this out of my spirit. And to be honest with you, we can beat each other up all day long about how to live in righteousness. But if you learn to know how blessed you are, it will help you promote that greater love in your heart. Hallelujah. And you'll have a love for not only yourself, but you'll have love for somebody else. I'm not talking about a love that'll cause you to put your arm around your companion and give them a kiss because they are your companion. And I'm not talking about a love that cries because you see somebody that is starving in this life. But I'm talking about a love that goes against what we feel. It goes against what the church would make you feel like is right and wrong. Don't always be led just by church people alone. You have got to know and understand just how blessed you are, because there may be some places that you're dwelling in, churches that you go to, that may not see your need. You have got to establish a confidence in God for yourself that you're able to recognize every single day. I know some people, you know, I've had people email me, I've had people text me, I've had people tell me, Jared, you just don't know how much encouragement that you've been, but I know a day may come where I might not remember to send that one or this or that. And God wanted us to recognize that though man may not come through when we need him, that we have the confidence within us. Say, it's in me. Say it again, it's in me. You have the confidence that God put in you when the blood of Christ purified all your sin. You then are able to be competent to overcome the sin. You're not just a captor to sin, but you're an overcomer of sin. Therefore, you have the ability to overcome day by day. This is the confidence that John was talking about. It's the same confidence that caused him to put Revelation together. All of that was a prophetic obedience. Imagine what we would have been like had we not had that book to read today. Imagine what our people would be if you were not confident in God. You mean me, Brother Jared? I feel like preaching now. I wish I hadn't got going. You mean me, Brother Jared? You mean I have something within me that can show somebody else? I don't know if you've been there with me before, but have you just felt like that you couldn't break through? Felt like that no matter how much they sung, that it just couldn't get you up to praise the Lord? People be preaching the house down, preaching like trees falling, and it feels like that it just rolls right on past our thought process. Have you ever been in a place where no song could stir you? Can I get a witness tonight? There has to be a confidence within you that when songs aren't enough and the word of God may fail you, that you will see God's will as you will trust in him. There is a confidence that will stir you. And you want me to be honest with you tonight? Our churches today have lost the zeal and the praise because we're not confident in what we have inside. We're looking for somebody, oh, to bless us in to the confidence. But I want you to know that you have exactly what you need inside of you. Jesus gave that Sermon on the Mount so that when we walk through the valley, that we can still see our way out. Verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? The children of God. I'm in the middle of my next book, and I've been writing on God's love. And one of the sections that I write about in there is about rebelling against chaos and walking in peace. It's hard to see and feel peace when we're in chaos. I know everybody's chaos has a little bit of a different look, different attack, different means, but you are never too far from peace. I heard a great teaching one time about the three different kinds of peace. But there is a peace for you to have no matter where you're at in your situation. There is a peace of God. We read of that surpasses all our understanding. It gets us past our thoughts. Can I get an amen? It gets us past our thoughts. Can I get an amen? If we don't start learning to think in the peace of God, we're going to kill ourselves spiritually. I'm going to say it again. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. Can I get an amen? There is a peace in God that when you don't know what else to do, you just throw yourself back, lean in the hand of God, and you become at peace because this comforter of the Spirit lifts that from you to which you cannot handle. The Word of God talks about this peace and said, I would not lay more on you than you were able to handle, but I would be able to provide a means and a way of escape for you. Then there is a peace with God. That's my favorite one. The peace of God that as you grow strong in Him, as Paul was, walk daily, able to put down his flesh. And he said, though there may be a thorn in my side, that part of me must die daily. And though the outward man may perish every day, the inward, the blessed part of me is renewed every day. For those that are mourning in here, step into the peace with God. For those with a broken spirit, step into the peace of God. For those tonight that cannot see the way, step into the peace in God. Don't lose sight of the inward part of you. I'm so glad that He paid the price for me, that which He bought for me. And placed in me is the confidence that I walk in. I'm not walking of my own strength, and I'm not preaching of my own accord. The part of me that is confident in God goes against every part of me that wants to sit down and quit. It puts to death every negative thought that ever tries to rise out of my spirit. I can't tell you that day one when I was free from drugs, it was the easiest day that I ever had. I remember it like it was yesterday. There's a lot of stuff that's lost in my mind from all the things that I'd done in my past. I just simply don't remember. But I remember day one when God delivered me. And I began to know the confidence of the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ. I looked at the bill and saw how much it cost to redeem me. And every day all I had to do was pick up the bill and see exactly what He had paid for me. And when I look back on that now, I'm confident and know that I'm blessed because I know of what He already redeemed. He said, if you would be meek, that you would inherit. You read that in another way. It says, those that would seek the righteousness of God first in the kingdom of heaven, that all the other things would be added to you. That's good stuff right there. There's something about walking with an inward confidence. Somebody go back and look at the bill tonight. You don't need me to tell you how blessed you are. You don't need me to stand up here all night and remind you of what you came from. You don't need me to go and look at your bill, because when I see what God done for you, it may not mean the same as when I would look at what God has done for me. If we would bring our bills in here and know that no matter what, how heavy, how much a debt that we have, that we serve a living God that will pay all of our dues. We act like finance is such a great big deal before God. But that's the enemy's way of attacking your faith. And if I had a Facebook account, I would imagine that maybe I wouldn't get all the friends that I thought I should have. My friend count might not be that high. Get discouraged, man. But I realize it's not in my friend count. For all you Facebook users out there, try to reach out to 5 people, person to person, and see just how much of a friend that they really are to you. We're living in a day where people can text that they love one another, that they can be affectionate just through text alone, and have lost the personable part of life. We're losing all of that, and I hope that you will not text somebody you love them. Get a hold of them, give them a great big hug, and show them that they're still alive in Christ. Amen.